flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me say welcome to the Organic Gardener. He is the star of the show, Doug Ostrand. If you're watching on that Metropolitan Window video stream at kdkradio.com, click on KDK Watch. He is ready to get going on this wintry day. But I'm ready to tell you, if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win yourself a gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. As I told Trey Fulbright, the exceptional meteorologist from KDKA earlier today, what a difference a week makes. Mr. Oster, good morning.
You call this wintry? This is almost summery. 34 degrees. What did you call it last week? If you're calling this wintry, you probably had some kind of word for it, like, you know.
Tundra.
Yes, the frozen tundra of Pittsburgh.
Freezing.
Today we've got a great guest. Lee Miller is the author of The Houseplant Guide, which is perfect for us right now, growing some houseplants. I posted a picture of amaryllis. Have you seen amaryllis? It's a little bulb, and it goes like this, and a nice, beautiful flower. And everybody's growing amaryllis in the winter. It's just gets us through the winter. It's
amaryllis by morning. No, that's Amarillo.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the cold, the positives of the extreme cold, because all of us that are affected by this insect called hemlock woolly adelgid, hemlock trees will look like they've got white stuff all over them. That's a bug. And over the years, that bug really takes its toll on the tree, and the bug can't stand when it gets down below zero, so it's going to really knock them back. And for somebody like me who has 40 hemlocks, and some of them are 40 feet tall, they can't be treated the way I want to treat them. That's a relief. The negatives are going to be things like hydrangeas, things that already have their buds on them. We'll see what happens, though. I had an email from a friend of mine, Jonathan. We went to Iceland together and Italy, and he had cabbage out unprotected with that -9, and it looks pretty good. I'm going to check my greenhouse today and see what's left. The lettuce does not look good from just looking through the window, but maybe the arugula and the onions might have made it. And I'm telling you what, stick your head out the window when the sun comes up and listen to the birds. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but the birds are singing, and it's just wonderful, Rob, to hear them. They know spring is coming. Yes, we've got, who knows what February will hold. I hope it's mild, but they know that spring is on the way. The days are getting longer. They're from the Disney movie, they call it, they're Twitter-pated. You ever heard that term before?
I have.
And what does it mean?
Absolutely no idea.
It means they're getting ready to mate. They're Twitter-pated. They don't have any idea what else is going on, except they want to eat some food and meet each other. And this is a great time to feed the birds, because you're going to get them used to coming to your garden. They'll create this sort of foraging route, and when they have their babies, they'll use that foraging route to hunt for bugs and feed the babies. There's some data that shows that one pair of chickadees uses 3,000 insects to feed their brood. That's just two chickadees. So imagine with all the birds you could attract. I love the house finches when they come to the garden, and they'll hunt, and I got these little houses hanging there, and the babies will be inside, and the house finch you'll see them, you know, especially cabbage. They love cabbage worms. They take it up to those little babies. You hear inside the singing. They're singing for their supper. And then they put that little caterpillar in there, and you hear them, and they eat it up. And then both male and female feed the the babies. It's fun to watch. It's part of the garden.
Every time I hear chickadee, I think of, oh, yes, my little chickadee, W.C. Fields.
Nurseries have their seeds out. That is another great thing we can do as gardeners now. But before you buy your seeds, make a little plan. Draw out a little plan on what's going to go where. That's what I like to do. Otherwise, you'll go to the nursery and you'll just be like, I want one of these, one of those, one of these. Again, somebody, Amy, the crazy dahlia lady, sent me a thing from YouTube where a guy is sitting there and he's got headphones on. He's got like a carrot here, like he's supposed to be taking calls. And it's like somebody who's like going to the nursery and, yeah, did you have to get compost even though you had 5 bags at home? Yeah, just in case. And buying more seeds than you need, buying more plants than you need, but have a plan. This is a good time to do planning. Get out there today when it's a little above freezing and look around. Look at the bones of the garden. Decide what's going to go where. And I want to remind you about the Pittsburgh Preservation Project. I've got 3 tomatoes in there, the seeds, that you could just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you the seeds back. I sent a big order out recently, and I haven't been to the post office, so we'll see how many we've got. But Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomato, the 3945 found on the battlefield of World War II, and a brand new one, Dr. Jim Snow, which was from Newcastle. And Rob, there's a relatively new way to sow seeds. And if you don't want to, like, we'll talk about it when we get closer, about setting up window lights and setting up a whole system for starting seeds indoors. But you can do it outdoors. You can take something like a milk carton and you cut it almost all the way around so it's an open lid. You drill holes in the bottom. You fill it up with planting mix. Moist planting mix. You put the seeds in there, you put the top back on, you just stick it out in the winter and let it sit outside, and the seeds, depending whatever it is, will sprout when they're ready. And so that's an easy way to start seeds. Again, if you don't want a big lighting system, and it's going to be, you're going to be later, a little later than us starting indoors, but it'll all work out. You start with the first things to pop up will be lettuces and greens and stuff like that, and eventually the peppers and the tomatoes will sprout. I know a lot of gardeners that are doing that because they don't want to start inside, and that's just something to think about now. This is the perfect time to do something like that because, you know, we're definitely have cabin fever with a real winter. And I don't know how you're doing on a real winter, Rob, but I'm getting too old for a real winter.
It's cold. It's yeah. Been really, really cold.
Yeah, and shoveling that driveway. And
being afraid you're going to slip on the ice. I know.
Yeah, that is a thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
As you found out last week.
I did.
Yeah.
Now, boom. Here, you know, the thing, though.
Wish I had a video of that.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Ring button.
Yeah,
camera.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that Pratt guy? But anyway, you know, growing up, you were talking about the milk cartons. I remember everybody in my neighborhood, my parents, their friends, they were all growing something all the time or in the garden. Was that a hobby? Or was it a stress reliever? Or was it because they had to feed their children? What?
All of that. Man. All of that. More so by the time we were, you know, kids, it was more a hobby and something that was passed on from the next generation. That's one thing that I'm finding. A lot of the young gardeners, and young gardeners have stuck with it since COVID, believe it or not. We didn't know if they would stay, but they found the enjoyment of gardening. And of course, especially with if they have young kids, growing your own food is a cool thing. Not that they need it to survive, but just that we know what was inputted in making that. But they didn't have the mentor that someone our age would, that everybody had a garden. But you'd be surprised how many people garden. Somebody sent me, Barbara sent me this picture. She had a tomato plant in a glass of water, and it had a tomato on it, and it had flowers on it. I had somebody else send me the most amazing thing. I'm hoping to do some kind of story on him. Michael in Uniontown, he's got a greenhouse going, but he's heating his, and with I think it has additional lighting. He's picking cucumbers in the middle of the winter.
That's crazy.
Like most people who have a greenhouse, even a production greenhouse, don't get it going until February because you don't have enough light to keep everything going. But boy, these pictures were amazing. Tomatoes filled with blossoms, tomatoes on the fruit, picking cucumbers. I can't remember what else was in there, but I was pretty amazed. It's kind of a fun thing about what I do.
Absolutely.
Is people send you that sort of thing that they're getting enjoyment out. And as we said at the top of the show, the amaryllis. I was at a visiting friends yesterday, and somebody had given the wife one of those amaryllis in a wax ball. It's all contained. You don't need to do anything. You just stick it somewhere. It will sit up straight, and you'll get this stalk and most beautiful flowers. When I was a kid, the first amaryllis I saw, my best friend, his mother grew them in front of a sliding glass window, and I had never seen a flower so beautiful in my life. And she taught me about how you can get them to bloom over and over again inside. And she passed away last year, and my friend got the amaryllis as a, you know, passed down. And I'm hoping he'll give me a couple of them just in her memory. And then every time I write about amaryllis and talk about them coming back year after year, I always think of her and those beautiful flowers. They're just stunning. And Sandy, who I was talking to last night, she had never really seen one bloom. And so I think she's hooked. So there's another one hooked for the indoor garden.
You know what I remember about being a kid and all the different gardens? We had a gentleman named Mr. Haney, and he would use those aluminum pie pans, and he would string them across his garden to prevent the birds when the winds would kick up the noise from landing. You know, riding my bike, you could tell a storm was coming because the wind was starting to whip, and you'd hear those pie pans smacking against each other, and just the smell of an impending rain, and I mean, just great memories.
Well, before we go to break, that gives me an opportunity to do my imitation of Mr. Haney from Green Acres.
Go ahead.
Mr. Douglas, I have a genuine Persian rug made in Indiana.
Oh, Pat Buttram. Man, he was great. Little things that make a big difference. All right, stay with us. The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster, is back with more in just a moment.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm joined this morning by Lee Miller. She is the author of The Houseplant Guide, How to Easily Select and Maintain Indoor Plants. Good morning, Lee, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Doug, and thank you for having me.
So tell me first how you got into houseplants.
Well, I'll tell you, Doug, I've been a gardener all my life, since the age of 5. I always had an appreciation for plants. I believe it's in my genes. And my mother always had plants around the house, but I think it really started in the mid-1990s, I went into landscape design. So I spent my days, 3 seasons of the year, outside in the garden, surrounded by green. So when the winter time came, well, I kind of missed it. So like my mom had, I started collecting plants. And I'll tell you, it got to a point that people would come to the house and go, Lee, you think you have enough plants? It's a jungle in here. And I said, well, that's not a bad thing.
Well, there's no doubt about that. It's nice to have some greenery inside. How did you get started on writing the book about it, though?
Well, it turns out I had written, because I've been designing for 28 years, all my friends and colleagues and clients, and they said, you have all this stuff in your head. Why don't you start writing about it? I wrote 5 books that were totally to do with design. And then they started saying, you have a house full of plants. You mean to tell me you didn't write a book on houseplants? And I said, well, I don't know. There's so many out there. They said, well, you have to make it unique. So what I did, Doug, boy, did I do my homework. I went through every single houseplant book I can imagine online. I read the reviews. I wanted to see what people were looking for. They wanted pet friendliness. They wanted air purification. They wanted to know what a thrip was. They wanted to know how to deal with pests and diseases. They wanted to know, I have a brown thumb. I can't keep anything alive. What's low maintenance? Help me. So by reading all those reviews, the things that they were looking for, I said, you know what? I can do this. So I started writing, and I came up with over 120 plants, and every single one, I'll tell you, I told everybody, I'm not writing this book unless I have personally grown this plant at one time in my life, or I know somebody's growing it, because the information has to be accurate. And that's how it all began. I wanted to create something that maybe wasn't quite out there, that had every single thing that people were looking for. I even added a little thing on herbs, because people say, well, you don't write about herbs in the book. So I added a little mini chapter on growing herbs. So that was my goal, to try to create something. And as the teacher in me, because I taught for 32 years, the teacher in me wanted to make something comprehensive that people could understand. And even the person that says, I can't make a plant live, that there's a plant for them that they could find.
So how about a few tips for people who want to grow on the windowsill? What would be the first word of advice you'd give them out of the book?
Don't grow too close to the windowsill. There are different types of plants, of course. There's the high light plants, there's the diffuse medium light, there's the low light. First thing is to read the book and see what the requirements are for the plant. Like I said, don't put it too close to the windowsill. Set it, depends on the plant. If it's a jade plant, I have a 40-year-old jade plant. The thing's about 2.5-3 feet high. It sits on the southern windowsill. I water it every 2 weeks. I've propagated a zillion plants from it for friends. You really have to know the plant. But whereas other plants, if it's a medium light plant, put it under a skylight. Put it 3 to 5 feet away from the window, because you don't want the leaves to get scorched.
And so what are a few plants that are off the beaten path that are in the book that you love that people might try on in their homes?
Okay. Not only do I have the common everyday plants, there are a few. Of course, I had to have them in order to write about them. So I bought a lot of plants. One is called Golden Crocodile Philodendron.
Mm.
It is gorgeous. It has elongated sword-shaped leaves. As it matures, it gets the serrations in the leaves, so it looks like a sword. It's the easiest thing to take care of. I couldn't believe it. It likes diffuse lighting, so don't put it right in the window. I actually have mine on a table underneath a skylight. Loves it. And I found the best thing with them, water from the bottom.
Mm.
Yeah, certain plants like that, and the calatheas, there's so many different types of them. They're drama queens, but self-watering pot, diffused light. This one called Rattlesnake, it has green, black, beautiful variegation in the leaves. It's also low maintenance. My new fave, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called Thai Constellation Monstera.
Hmm.
It's rare. You can't get your hands on it unless you're me. I was on a mission to get this plant. It comes from the mountains in Thailand. It's very hard to propagate, apparently. It was advertised on the TV, and my husband surprised me. We got its little baby 4-inch pot. Well, I planted it, and as it grew, it started getting the serrations in the leaves. It has like a light green leaf with this gorgeous golden color and white, and it's absolutely amazing. And it seems to be showing up more and more now because there's a high demand for them. And the price is starting to come down a little bit, which is good. And it's just the thing you have to have. It's just because it's rare. And of course, if you can't get something, you want it.
You have to have it.
You have to have it.
What was the plant that you mentioned before the Monstera?
Oh, Calathea?
Yeah.
There are so many different types of the Calathea. They have a nice variegated foliage, broad leaves. It's all about the foliage on those.
Lee, I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about that plant. Common name, the prayer plant, easy to grow. But Lee has some interesting varieties to talk about. We're back with Lee Miller, author of The Houseplant Guide, How to Easily Select and Maintain Indoor Plants. And Lee, when we took the break, you were talking about prayer plants. What are a couple other varieties that you like?
There's rattlesnake, there's velvet calathea, dark green leaves, fuzzy, like soft, like an African violet leaf, and the undersides are red. So at nighttime, because it's in the prayer plant genus, the leaves fold up and you can see the purple undersides. It's a beauty. And like I said, calatheas are drama queens, but I found the secret. Give it a self-watering pot. So that's why I said I had to grow it myself to find out.
What's the moisture level like for that plant? What do you want to keep it at?
Consistently moist. That's why the self-watering pot. Because it's drawing up from the bottom when it wants it, when it wants the moisture. So it keeps that consistent moisture. Another one, fiddle leaf fig. You see them all over the place? Drama queen, same thing. Self-watering pot.
Are you allowed to bring any more plants in the house?
Actually, yes, because I got my husband so excited about the Thai constellation Monstera and the golden crocodile philodendron that he now is on the lookout for more of them. And there's also Ring of Fire philodendron, which is nice. So if he's in a store and he sees it, he'll call me and say, Lee, I'm sending you a picture. Do you want it?
You're very lucky because so many of us are on a moratorium for bringing more plants in the house.
Oh, how many do you have?
They're everywhere and I sneak them in. I have to sneak it.
Yep.
What did you hope that people get out of the book when you put it together?
Well, what I'm hoping is that I've covered all their fears. I have so many friends that say, I have a brown thumb. I can't grow anything. And I say to them, I'll help you. By covering every single detail as far as lighting, moisture, humidity, insects and diseases. Is it finicky? Does it like a particular thing? What happens if you see brown spots on the leaves? What does that mean? I've tried to cover every single possible thing I could to make it available to readers. And just like I tell everybody, there is a perfect plant for you. It's just a matter of picking the correct plant and taking care of it. And I'm hoping that that's what I accomplished.
What's the best way for people to get the House Plant Guide?
It's available on Amazon and bookstores. And really can just go online and type in the House Plant Guide, how to easily who like to maintain indoor plants, Lee Miller, and it should pop right up.
Lee Miller is the author of The House Plant Guide, How to Easily Select and Maintain Indoor Plants. Sounds like the Bible for growing stuff inside. Lee, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
And thank you so much for having me, Doug.
And I've got all the information about the book at DougOster.com if you'd like to get a copy. And you got any house plants, Rob? You got anything growing in your house?
I do not. I need to do that, though. That would be kind of neat to watch it, actually.
It cleans the air,
come to
gives
life.
You joy, beautiful green and flowers. You need an amaryllis bulb, too.
Okay.
I'm growing lots of stuff inside it. Again, I've got to sneak stuff in. There's only so much. I get this little puppy, and not so little anymore, but when he gets stressed, he goes up on where the plants are and starts tearing the plants out.
What kind of dog is this little puppy?
One like this. I'm just putting my hands out like about 3 feet.
Oh.
Just a little mutt,
nice.
Crazy mutt. Doesn't know who I am if I have a hat on.
Really?
Yeah, I come in the front door. He's barking like crazy trying to protect my wife. And I'm like, I live here.
It's me.
Yeah. Another thing to think about right now is getting those tools in shape, and that's what I'm doing, actually. I've got my grandparents' tools, and whenever you're going to add garden tools to your garden shed, try and get the best ones possible, ones that you can pass down to kids and grandkids. And so I'm using a lot of my grandparents' tools, and I want to keep them in the best shape. And for the wooden handles, I'm just coating them with boiled linseed oil, and that really helps them stay flexible, and because they just dry out, especially if you're like me and you leave them outside. Not my grandparents' tools, but other tools. A lot of times I leave outside, not for the winter, but over the garden season. And then for the metal parts, sharpening is really important. I never really even thought about sharpening shovels and hoes and stuff until I spoke to a group of sheet metal workers. That was a nervous speaking gig because usually it's like garden people, but they were really into it. And we started talking and they talked about sharpening those tools. And so there's a tool I love. I've been using it for 20, 30 years called AccuSharp, but there's lots of different tools to do this. Go to the hardware store and get a tool to sharpen the hoe, the shovel, and it makes your garden work so much easier. And then for your bypass pruners or loppers, there's a special just a little file. One side is rough, one side is very fine, and you just use the same angle, and it's very easy. And you never want to use dull tools. Like if your bypass pruner or those loppers are not sharp, you know what it's like. You're not cutting, you're crushing that plant as you make those cuts. So get your tools in shape. That's again something we can do during the winter. Read us some books. Read that houseplant book. Next week, I have a really good author coming on, too. Another great author, Kelly Norris, author of The Natural Garden. He's been writing a lot about this type of gardening naturally, and the book is just filled with great pictures. So consider extending the season. That's another thing to think about right now, and that's what I'm doing. Out in the garden in these things called cold frames, I've got kale and arugula, and I have no idea what's left after -9, -10. Same in the greenhouse. But I've got a good feeling that these plants that love cool weather, that have a little bit of protection, just like I was saying that Jonathan has those cabbages out there unprotected, and they're still sitting there. They're going to hit the ground running in the spring unless we get really brutal cold in February. But I love extending the season. I'm going to be teaching some classes on online starting pretty soon, all about extending the season and growing for as long as you can.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to take some calls on the other side. You have any questions for Doug? 866-391-1020. When the weather turns bad, turn to KDKRadio.com for up-to-the-minute news, weather, and traffic information from the KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the Yellow Van and Butler Transit Authority, only on the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Let's make Doug work for his breakfast here today. Give us a call. Anything on your mind in the way of gardening? Now is the time to call. 866-391-1020. Let's go to Peter. Hey, Pete in Crafton. How are you, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Doug, I was looking to find morel mushrooms online, and all of a sudden I got all these advertisements. So I went on Amazon, and I ordered golden oyster mushrooms organic. And you take the flap, the box came, I took the flap off. You make an X on the paper there to open it up. You get a little spritzer with it, and you spritz it. And after a week, just a little bit came out. Within 3 days, these things are like the size of golf balls.
Isn't that fun?
It is. And I was just wondering, have you ever tried it, or if anybody else would like to try it?
Yeah, I have.
Can't wait to harvest.
I have, actually. I've done it with a couple different types of mushrooms, and it is a lot of fun. In fact, I think it was last year or the year before, at the Home and Garden Show, a guy was there selling like that box where you take it home and put some water on it, and like you say, put the X in it. But there's lots of different mushrooms you can do that way, and the mushrooms are so fresh and so wonderful. Tell me again which variety you grew.
I have a golden oyster.
Wow.
And I hope to get some morels. I love morels.
Do they do morels that way? I don't know if they do morels that way.
I think you might have to do them outside.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah. That's a good point. That's another way to do it, where they sell you kind of the spore, and you got to have the right tree, and you drill some holes in there, and you put that wooden dowel in there. That's a great idea. Boy, yeah, if you get morels, call me back. I want to hear about that, because everybody wants morels.
Yes, I'm going to try that next after I eat this bunch here.
And
as a matter of fact, after you harvest, you can spray again and get another harvest.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's some good stuff. Another great winter project.
All right, here's Sally up next for Doug on the Organic Gardener. She's calling from Freeport. Hey, Sally, welcome to KDKA.
Well, thank you. I enjoy your program, Doug. And I have a tip that maybe you could use.
Oh, good.
I have the amaryllis bulbs that come in a wax. Yeah. I've had them as gifts at Christmas. They bloom at Christmas. I peel the wax off. I put them in a planter, and I've brought them back probably 3 years now. I sit the planter outside in the summer. It's only green. Then I bring it in right before the first frost, and they are blooming now, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And I just keep getting more and more of them, and they are beautiful.
How hard is it to get that wax off? How careful do you have to be? Because I've heard people have been able to do it, but I have not been successful at it.
I didn't have a problem at all, whether mine was easy or what, but it just peeled right off, almost like those cheese balls you get that you can buy wrapped in wax.
Yeah, that's what I told my friend to do last night. I said, try and get that wax off, and then put it in some planting mix, right, and then hope that it roots.
I put it in my planter, and then I just let it there, watered it some, you know, through the rest of the winter, and then I sit at the whole planter outside, and It bring it in fall. But I think I might have clipped the tip at the very top of the bulb with the wax, and it just sort of peeled right off.
All right, good. Well, that's a great tip, because I just hate that they just want you to throw that away after it's done blooming. I'm glad that there is a way to keep them going. So if you've got one of those wax amaryllis, give it a try, and then you'll have amaryllis year after year after year.
All right, Leanne's up next for Doug. She's in Burgettstown. Hydrangea is on her mind. Good morning, Leanne.
Hi, Doug. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I have two hydrangeas, beautiful plants, side by side, same soil, same lighting. One blooms, and the other one hasn't bloomed for 2 years, and I haven't done anything to either one.
Are they the same variety? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
So the good thing is that you're not doing anything to them, because usually people will trim them at the wrong time, and then you're trimming off the buds. And so what I would do with the one that's not blooming, well, I would actually do it with both of them, but we get early spring, I would get an organic fertilizer like Garden Tone or Flower Tone. They're easy to find at the nursery. They're inexpensive, and you can just kind of scratch that into the ground underneath it, and that kind of forces the plant to bloom as long as there are buds there. And it's probably, even though they're so close together, it's probably just something about that soil where that one is that just, it's just not happy. And that's what I would try. Give it a little bit of fertilization. What color do they bloom, the one that does bloom?
They bloom blue and pink.
Oh, well, everybody wants blue and pink hydrangeas. So that's the what we call hydrangea macrophylla. And so that's the one that is blooming on old wood. As long as you see buds on there in the spring on that one that doesn't bloom, you know that it's going to give you the flowers that it needs, but it just might need a little bit of boost. And just a small bag of that flower tone or that garden tone is only like $8 or $9. And again, you can find it very easily. Sprinkle it down in there. And then next summer when it's blooming like crazy, call me back and say I was a genius, okay?
I'll do that. I definitely will.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
All right, here he is, the gardening genius. About a minute left in today's show, sir.
Well, I do have a couple seats left for London. If you'd like to see the Chelsea Flower Show and the City of London, the Gardens of London, a garden called Sissinghurst, which is 2 hours south of London, there's a couple seats left and would love to take you with me. I've had so much fun since 2015. That was my first time that I traveled like this. And I took people to London, and oh, it's so great. And I actually saw something on the CBS Sunday Morning Show yesterday about these different types of pubs there. And we're going to find one of those. We're going to find one of those with kind of like an Indian cuisine, and it looks really good. It's fun to travel like that. We have a direct flight to London, which is like, oh, man, fantastic.
British Airways.
Oh, that's the way to travel. It's going to be so much fun. So all that information is at DougOster.com. The thing, Lee Miller and her houseplant book, that's at DougOster.com. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
There he goes, Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener.